But we begin, as you've been hearing in our news, with the plans by Minco Exploration to potentially extract materials from sites in Bunratty and Tulla, which have sparked concerns from local environment groups. The Meath-based company has applied to the Department of the Environment for licences in both cases in its submission to the department last month. Minco Exploration stated its intention to conduct desktop studies, geochemistry and drilling over several townlands encompassing both Tulla and Bunratty. However, local environment groups' concerns appear to be shared by Clare councillors. A motion passed at last evening's meeting to ask Minister Eamon Ryan not to proceed in awarding a licence to explore the South East Clare townlands. But to find out just why those environment groups have concerns, we are joined by Christine O'Brien, who's spokesperson for Keep Tulla Untouched campaign, and also Melina Sharp, who is a spokesperson from Future Proof Clare from West Clare. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Christine, I'll go to yourself first. Can you tell us why you're concerned about these licences?
Well, I'm involved in not only just in agriculture. I have property in several of the townlands that are mentioned in looking for prospecting licences, but I farm. I also farm organically, and I'm involved in tourism with a group called Tourism East Clare. And these kind of effects that could happen to our landscape are just not in line at all with other things that are being expected by us, environmental things expected by us as farmers from Department of Agriculture, from National Parks and Wildlife Services. And I'm really concerned that there's no information being given to local landowners that would be comparative, for example, with the prospective launch of wind farms that were in Tarita Upper. A whole lot of introduction was given by that, but this group, there's nothing. You know, and the wind farm is green energy, and this is making changes to our land.
In fairness to Minco, they say the activities would be non-intrusive, the measures that would be implemented would be non-intrusive and would involve a minimal level of disturbance.
But then when you read the other things that they've been involved in, I mean, why are you prospecting if you're not looking to do something? Why are you finding out what minerals are there? It must lead to something. Nobody invests, you know, finances and time into something to no avail, you know, just for a desktop report. I think that all of that should have been discussed locally. Why weren't there town meetings? Why wasn't there more information given to landowners? I just don't know. I don't know the answers to that question, and that's why I'm objecting and looking for more information.
Okay, we'll go to Melina Sharp, who's also with us. Melina, you're with Future Proof Clare. Why are you and your colleagues concerned?
Hello, thanks for inviting us to speak. We were seriously shocked when we found out just on, I think, the 4th of January, we suddenly found out that there was this notice of intent to grant a prospecting licence. And our group had been involved with groups in Northern Ireland that are seriously in trouble, like, because mining companies are basically attacking the communities, you know, and again, like, lacks of public consultation, no information. So you've got, like, strangers coming onto your land.
I don't think there's any suggestion that Minco would do any of this, that they're attacking communities. And they have, you know, the notice of intention to grant licences was in local papers a month ago, as well, as far back as the 9th of December.
Yes, yeah.
In terms of what other mining companies have done is no indication of what Minco may do.
No, but Minco is part of a big network of mining companies. They have serious links with Dalradian, the company in the north. They're based in Canada. The parent companies are based in Canada and have links with Swedish companies that are also, they do exactly what all mining companies do.
Just to move it on, in terms of the impact you think this could have on locals in Tulla and Bunratty. I mean, you know, as a local resident, what impact do you think it would have?
Mining in general, they use chemicals, and so you've got high levels of arsenic and cyanide being put into the water tables, and not to mention the physical destruction Like we're in a climate and biodiversity emergency, and we need to be planting natural forests and protecting and rewilding to give habitats back and to build up our soil so that we can create a healthy substance for creating for growing food for people.
Okay.
So the idea of scraping that off the planet and you know, destroying it forever, because some of the substances and sulfides, if they get released, they continue to leach into the water forever.
Okay.
You can't turn it back.
Yeah. Okay. And again, as I say, the Minco say that their activities would be non-intrusive and would involve a minimal level of disturbance. Just to go back to yourself, Christine, I mean, what impact do you think the would be felt by locals in both areas of South East Clare, in Tulla and Bunratty?
Well, I know that we that, like all the neighbours around me, we own land that's in an SPA, a special protected area, and that actually has for several years now. We have things that we are not permitted to do on our land, on our hedges, all of that. And we have areas that are all labelled as visually vulnerable, and you're not even allowed to do, you know, flail mowing and things like that. So it beggars belief that then drilling and sampling and all that things by an outside company or by strangers, if we can't do anything on our own land, then why should anybody else be able to? I have land also that an NHA, which is a derogation that put by the EU, that's not even a derogation from Ireland. That land, for example, I am required to request through Parks and Wildlife Services to the Department of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht to even remove surface stones. So if I, as the owner of the land, if I have to get written permission from a department to flatten scrub or remove surface stones on this special protected area, an NHA, then how can somebody who doesn't own the land come in and do something? It beggars belief to me.
And Christine, why do you feel that an extension to the deadline for submission is justified?
Information. Basic, like they should be afforded the information to give to people that actually own this land. You know, as from another hat that I wear that's involved with tourism, because we run a self-catering holiday home on a restored property on the land, on our farm. And it is, we've been running it for, this will be our 8th year. And it is so important to people that have visited and stayed in our property from all around the world, quite frankly, that they remark on the untouched nature in East Clare. Well, I'm in East Clare, so I can speak to that. But it is so important that remains so. One of the most important things that we have is our nature and our heritage. And even the prospect of granting these licenses that could go to like future mining is so against everything that the country and the world has been moving towards. You know, it's not like you can hear from my accent. I'm originally from Australia. Australia is a massive country, and the mining that happens there are really nowhere near communities. Ireland is a patchwork of people living next to each other. You know, and I can't see how you can have a report that requests prospecting licenses, and then if you read further down to a report that was completed by a company called Hannon Metals Limited that has an association with Minco, it was completed in August 2020, and they're talking about the prospect of something like 400,000 tons of materials being taken from Milltown, which is an area literally like neighbouring our farm. And that's just, what's going to happen by, how on earth do you undo that? You can't.
I suppose as things stand, you know, they've applied for the prospecting license, and if they get that, you know, that doesn't allow the holder to mine any materials. It would only allow Minco to explore for mineral deposits, and you know, there's no suggestion then that they would go on and actually carry out any of those activities. Would that allay your fears to any degree?
Well, they have to come forward and speak to the communities and give that information. I think that's part of the problem. Well, like a big part of the problem is it should be done out in the open.
Well, I mean, in terms of being out in the open, though, to be fair to them, I mean, their notice of intention to grant licences was in the local papers as far back as the 9th of December. I mean, it's been out there for over a month.
I understand that. Now, I don't buy, like, the physical paper. Most of the times, if I were to read an article from the Clare Champion or anything else that's produced locally, I'd probably do it on my phone, where you get the articles and you don't get the ads.
To be fair to them, Christine, you know, local papers are still really important in local communities.
Yeah.
And a company who's perhaps not from that area would reasonably think that, you know, the connection between local papers and its local audience is big, and that if they put it in the local paper, it has a very good chance of being seen by a lot of people.
I guess so, but like, I think a lot of people, when they read the papers too, do they read it thoroughly or do they skim? Do you know, do you take a lot of attention to the notices, to the what looks like an advertisement?
Yeah, well, look, they put it in the paper, and it's up to people, you know, to read it, and it's there. If you see it, you can choose to see it or not to see it. Melina,
Could I just come in there? Very quickly. Yeah, as far as I know, the department requires that there's a notice in the newspaper that is available to see in the Clare County Council, as in it's put up in Clare County Council and in the Garda Síochána offices. Our friends in Treasurer Leitrim informed us that the council posted it on Facebook. So straight away, the whole community could see that there was a map. And it arouses.
Okay, so you'd like to see something up on social media as well?
Oh yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. And that's where Future Proof Clare has come in. You know, we've shared it with the public so that they can at least inform themselves and educate themselves, and then have a chance to get back to the department.
Okay, I suppose in some instances, though, then you hear certainly older members of the community, if something was purely solely put up on social media, they'd say, well, we don't really interact with that, we read the local paper. But sure, look, anyway, we'll move on. Melina, can I ask you what you make of Eamon Ryan assessing the licence? He says that it won't have a major environmental impact. Your thoughts on the minister's view on that?
Okay. So first, just one quick point. This area that we're talking about is about 50 kilometres squared, but it's part of a much larger area in Clare that's owned by the previous owner, Hannon Metals, which is 350 kilometres squared. So it goes from north to south, from Crushing down to Shannon and Bunratty, and from the Ennis border, about a kilometre and a half away from Ennis and Quinn, all the way as far as O'Brien's Bridge. It's a huge area, and they've found a lot of metals in the Kilbrickan area, which is just on the other side of the motorway from Ennis, as far as I could find out.
Okay, well, we won't focus on what previous companies have done. Just your thoughts on what the minister...
This is not in the past. This is what's happening all around Ireland, because the minister and the government have set up a policy in 2021 to give away licenses to mining licenses, mainly to multinationals, give it away, and then they come in and they have, first of all, they only do prospecting licenses in order to get mining licenses.
Well, we'll see. That is all potentially to come. What do you think of Eamon Ryan's view in assessing the licence, that he and his department think it won't have a major environmental impact?
Yeah, so that's quite flawed, because, as I said, prospecting licences are only done in order to find metals, in order to take them out of the ground. So to say that things aren't going to have an impact at the moment is, as they say, no one's going to take a driving test and buy a car if they don't want to drive. So... Okay. Coming down the line, like, it doesn't make sense to screen it and say that it's perfectly safe to do if the intention all of the time is to mine.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, Melina, because we do have more on this. But I really do appreciate both of you coming on to give us the views of yourselves and your communities and respective groups. That's Christine O'Brien before Melina there, the spokesperson for Keep Tulla Untouched campaign. And that was Melina Sharp, who's spokesperson from Future Proof Clare from West Clare as well. If you have any views, comments or opinions on this story and on the comments of Christine and Melina, do get in touch. It's 08184. 1800 964 to call us. You can also text or WhatsApp the programme on 086 1800 964. And next we'll be hearing about the emergency motion on the prospecting licences, which was brought to last evening's council meeting. Now, before the break, we heard from representatives of local environment groups on a proposal by Mingo Exploration to begin mining activities in both Tulla and Bunratty. And a motion was passed at last evening's meeting of Clare County Council to ask Minister Eamon Ryan not to proceed in awarding a licence to explore the South East Clare townlands. Councillors have also called on the Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, to extend the period of public consultation. And for more on this, we're joined by Donna McGettigan, Sinn Féin councillor from Shannon, and also Pat Hayes, Fianna Fáil councillor from Mahara. And you're both very welcome to the programme. If I can just start with yourself, Donna. Why was the emergency motion brought to the council yesterday? If you can just take us through that, please.
Well, I only heard about this recently myself and was quite surprised to see that this was coming up in the middle of Christmas holidays and the Omicron. And I just couldn't believe that this was happening. So Future Proof Clare had contacted me in relation to this. It was them that actually pointed it out to me. So we said, look, we have to do something because, you know, the public deserve proper consultation and a right to say anything that might affect them. And this rushed through process that they got wasn't good enough. And the way in which this was handled, it gives no confidence in the projects or the process. So we went about with myself and Pat Hayes and said about the emergency motion.
Just in terms of, you know, the public only finding out on the 6th, again, as I mentioned before the break, the notice was in local papers on as far back as the 9th of December.
As far as I know, it was only in one paper, but you're talking around the Christmas period. Do you know how many people are looking at these different planning? I didn't see it myself as a councillor. So, you know, how many people are actually looking at planning applications or anything in local newspapers? They're looking to see what they can get for Christmas. Are they going to have food on the table? What's happening with the Omicron? Are they even going to be able to meet with their family? And I think that was taking over people's minds, not looking at whatever planning permissions were being asked for.
I understand that, Donna, but I guess, I mean, if you put, I know it's a busy time, it's coming into Christmas, but if you put something in the paper, anything that's put in the paper, you can't force somebody to read it, but it is there, you know, should they choose to do so. And if they don't, well, you know, that's their decision not to look at it or not to explore it or read it further.
But is that not when you're putting something in, you know what the circumstances around what's happening in people's minds at the time and putting it in knowing that people aren't really going to look at it? Is that not something to look at as well?
Okay. Just to go to Pat. Pat, your thoughts on all of this and the emergency motion?
Well, look, I think it's very important we give it due consideration and we get time to actually consider it. And I look at, and this motion really is very much to give that extra time to the people, particularly the people who are affected by this, because I think there's a lot of misinformation or no information on what has been proposed. And indeed, the proposal that was on the media wasn't seen by very few people. That's no disrespect to the papers or anyone like that. It's just the time of the year. And I think it feels a bit underhand, in my view, that you would actually put a public notice a week before Christmas into a paper.
Well, we'll steer away from the word underhand, to be fair.
Well,
I feel, in the paper.
I feel uncomfortable that it was put in at this particular period, not to get the public knowing enough about it, and then put a quick closure date early in January. My understanding is it has been extended for 2 weeks. I haven't full confirmation of that, but my understanding is that this period has been extended for an extra 2 weeks now since our motion. But I would rather have got more, really, because what we're really talking about here is a license to prospect across this area, which is a substantial area and has a lot of regulations around it in SPAs and in HA areas and in Harrier areas. On one hand, we're making every effort to environmental programs through farming to try and enhance and improve the environment. And then the other one, we're looking at issues around mining and prospecting. I don't think the two can go hand in hand. But in fairness to the company, we really need to know exactly what they're talking about here. here as well, and what effect that will have. And I think all of us as public representatives, I think we need to be briefed as well, because there's a duty of care on us to understand both sides. But in my own personal view, I have a clear worry that prospecting and mineral looking for minerals in our lands around here will have an environmental effect going forward. Presently, I don't think the most intention to prospecting license will probably have a huge environmental effect, but I think they're not coming looking for nothing. They're coming because they see an opportunity, and that's when the challenge will really be if something is found.
Okay, Donna, just to go back to yourself, and Pat mentioned, you know, maybe hearing from the company. Is that something you would like to see? Maybe, you know, a presentation before local public representatives, or at least certainly councillors, and maybe just to outline further the plans.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know what the impact of this will be on our county and biodiversity, and it's not for me to guess, as I don't know what the research is on it. But that's why we need proper research and proper public consultation on it, so we know exactly what we're dealing with. And, you know, as Pat rightly said, they're not looking for nothing. They're not going to put money in here just to go prospecting. You know, it's what this is going to bring down the line. And it's something I read recently, is like saying, you know, prospecting license are just that and no more. That's like saying that people who do a driving test and then invest in buying a car are simply doing so to see if they can pass the test.
But
the
I suppose sometimes, Donna, can you prospect and maybe you don't find anything, or you don't find enough of what you were looking for?
Well, this is here's the thing. I don't know, you know, and that's where we need this research and public consultation, because I don't know. I don't know. Has there ever been a case of that? But I mean, you do have to think, why are they going to pour money into this prospecting? For what? What are they going to get out of it? That's what we need to look at, is what this is going to bring down the line.
Well, Donna, you and your colleagues, you've gone beyond looking, calling for an extension to the deadline for submissions. You're also asking for the life for Eamon Ryan not to grant the licence. Why was that call? Why were those calls put forward? Why do you think not granting the licence would be necessary?
Well, it is. I know it is documented that the impacts of mining over different communities around the world, even the prospecting mining related works, have proved much more invasive and extensive and polluting and adverse consequences. And, you know, as Councillor Patty has already said, we're trying to work together with farmers and landowners to try and make our biodiversity great. And, you know, this doesn't, as he said, rightly said, doesn't go hand in hand together. So.
Okay. Just to finish with yourself, Pat, how do you think it's all going to play out? Obviously, we're still at the early stages of this particular story, and there'll be more developments to come, no doubt, but how do you think it's going to, what the outcome will be?
Well, my understanding is that we have about 2 weeks extra given for the consultation period. I don't believe that's enough. I believe that we should have been briefed. I think as public representatives, we really need to know exactly if there's a planning application or something seriously going on. No count, we're fully made aware of all those things. I think somebody that comes in from outside now, look at the minister has the rights over the minerals and on the lands, and that has been stated in law for years. But at the same time, I think basic consultation with public representatives, I think it's challenging. I think I doubt if any councillor or anyone has any knowledge of this prior to Christmas hadn't actually seen the public advertisement. And I think the minimum amount we should have is be fully briefed on what's the view of the council environment sections and the planning section has on this, and to be clear in our own mind where we're going with this. Councillor Grant spoke in favour of certain elements of it just at the meeting and said that it had some values, and I think there's a duty of care on us as public representatives to be fully clear on the views of this. But on a personal level, having done a good lot of research on this, my view is that I don't think it is compatible very much with the farming community here in County Clare.
And Pat, could this be a motion that we could expect to see at the next council meeting, perhaps even from yourself, to call upon Minco to come before a future council meeting and give more detail or outline their plans further?
Well, I think it could be beneficial to hear both sides, and we're hearing very much from the people that live on the ground and the people that are involved in campaigning against this as well. But it's no harm to hear both sides. But the difficulty now is that I thought we might get maybe a 2 months extension rather than 2 weeks, and we'd have a greater period to discuss it at our February meeting. Yesterday's motion was an emergency motion to call in the minister just not to proceed at the moment, and at least at the minimum is to extend the period. We haven't really gone too far. It hasn't gone too far, and that 2 weeks isn't really okay. Given a huge amount of, but it will give more time to people to inform themselves as well on the workings of mining and prospecting and the environmental impact that will have in the area.
Okay, thank you very much to Pat Hayes, Fianna Fáil councillor from Mahara, and to Donna McGettigan, Sinn Féin councillor from Shannon. For more on this, we are now joined by Roisin Garvey, the Green Party senator from Mina. Good morning to you, Roisin.
Good morning, how are you?
Not too bad at all. Thanks very much for joining us. The extension, I think Pat mentioned, is 2 weeks. Would you also have liked to seen it be longer?
I think so, yeah. Look, it was advertised on the 9th of December. Nobody seems to have seen that. I think Pat makes an interesting point how, unless you're reading The Champion, reading every application, you can miss these things. Now, by law, it only has to be 21 days, so getting it from the 9th of December to the 8th of January was actually a week more than is normal. So we got 30 days, and now we're getting extra 2 weeks. But yeah, I suppose it does bring in, like, the old ways of doing things were that everybody read the paper and everybody sees everything in the local paper, and that's how they advertise everything. But things have changed. I found this with other things as well with local authorities. They rely on the local paper for advertising. And I suppose now in the world of social media and other forms, I mean, people are always saying to me, "How do you know everything that's going on, Clare?" I said, "Because I read The Champion every week." You know, and I read Clare Echo online if I don't get it in person. But, like, unless you're going to start reading your local paper every week, you're going to miss things.
So, and Roisin, do you think putting it up on social media as well would have been helpful?
Like, I don't know, because social media is such a horrible place to rely on, but I think Pat made an interesting point about the local authority being informed, and that's something maybe we can look at with regards to the Minister for Local Government, because, you know, over the years we have seen the powers of local government being slowly scraped away. And it is a very, you know, who are they going to call first is their local representative, you know?
Yeah.
And it can be embarrassing when you don't know about something and they do, you know, because you as a local representative are supposed to keep an eye on everything that's happening all the time. There's a lot going on in Ireland, a lot going on in Clare. I mean, there already is currently 8 prospecting licences in the county most people aren't even aware of. Hmm. And to date, none of them have actually come to any fruition. So, you know, there's a big difference between prospecting licences and mining licences, but the extension is definitely welcome.
And in terms of that extension, Roisin, you know, Pat mentioned he had been hoping it would be a couple of months. When you went seeking that extension, that fortnight extension, what kind of time frame did you originally have in mind or were hopeful of getting?
I actually didn't have any specific. I just asked for an extension because of the Christmas break. But I knew that that usually it's only 3 weeks, and this had been 30 days. So it's hard to ask for huge, long extensions when they already have given you 30 days. Mm. But to be honest with you, I didn't ask for a specific length of time for an extension, just being brutally honest.
Okay.
So when I got any extension of any kind, I thought it was a step in the right direction.
And do we know, have Minco been notified of this two-week extension?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I presume they would have had to be, would they? I would presume they would have had to be informed, since they're the ones that are waiting on the applicants. Okay. So I would imagine the department have informed them.
In terms of your party leader and the Minister for the Environment, Eamon Ryan, and his take on prospecting licences in general, what is his take on prospecting licences, do you know?
Well, I haven't spoken to him directly on it now, so I won't misquote the Minister, but I do know that our focus is on circular economy and biodiversity and environmental protection and a green economy. And the green economy does not involve mining randomly every little bit of mineral we can get out of the ground. So really, your focus will be minimum mining, and only when absolutely necessary for things that we might need to protect people into the future, to make things we might need in the future. But I can't see... I think this is going to be gold mining, they were saying, possibly. But no, there's no guarantee they'll ever find enough to go mining either, which to date they haven't. I won't be able to say exactly what Eamon Ryan thinks, but knowing the man and being in the Green Party for many years, our number one goal as a Green Party is to do everything to protect the environment and to focus on what we need to do to be protecting people and place with regards to the future.
And with that in mind, is there the will within the Green Party or even further within the coalition to have prospecting licences done away with or the extension? You know, some might look at it and say, well, it's just for optics, and sure, the licences, they'll be granted anyway.
Yeah, they're not always granted. I think, I know my personal focus and focus of other members of our party, so a minister has to follow government policy as well. It's not like a minister can come into office and then suddenly change all the policies to suit himself. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. It's probably a good thing as well, to be honest with you. So what we're focusing on is strengthening policy around mining and strengthening policy around prospecting. And that's the work that needs to be done. You know, often you see campaigns calling for the minister to block a license or to block this or block that, but ministers no longer have those powers. In the old days when you had one big party in power, and that was the old way of doing things, you know, you had the Galway tents and you had brown envelopes and you had, sure, that's grand, let him build there, and no way can we let him build there. And there was all this kind of stuff going on, and that's gone now. Luckily, we have strong policies, and ministers can't come in anymore and just change their mind and do things to suit themselves. So now ministers have to go by the book and have to follow policy. So as I said to some of the people from Future Proof Clare and to the lady from Tulla, who I was on to as well, I'm focusing on looking at the wording of policy and making it stronger in light of the fact that we have a biodiversity and climate emergency. And the last thing we need is to be ripping up the land for a small bit of minerals for some private company to benefit from.
Well, certainly talking to our two earlier guests, to Christine O'Brien from Keep Tull Untouched and Melina Sharp from Future Proof Clare, you know, they're concerned that it will harm the environment. What do you make of the minister's comments that the licences won't have a major environmental impact? And what action will you take if the licences are granted?
Are you talking to me? Sorry,
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, the prospecting licence, is it?
Yes, and if the full licences are eventually granted.
Oh, I just can't see that ever happening. I'd say the people in Clare, including myself, just won't allow it. We're very strong people in Clare. We don't get walked over. We banned fracking in the past. If you remember, we were the first county to ban fracking. I can't see any mining for gold going ahead. Not with the will of the people, you know.
Okay, thanks very much.
As a former community activist, I haven't sold my soul to just government policy and nothing else. You know, I'm here to represent people, and if people don't want something, you know, it is good to see people power taking place. That's also important. And it's good to see the councillors involved as well, you know. We're all on the same side here, despite what people might think sometimes.
Okay, Roisin, thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Gormagat Slán.